It is Friday panel time now, and our two guests this week joining us on Zoom are Bláthnaid Gallagher from County Leitrim, former Sligo Leitrim general election candidate of 1 year ago now, believe it or not, chair of the Executive Council of the Green Party and national coordinator of the party as well, and Councillor John Paul Feely from Blackline, a member of Cavan County Council, Fianna Fáil councillor, also a solicitor. Good morning to you both. And thanks for joining us. And it strikes me that you're both members of parties who are in government, obviously, at the present time. Bláthnaid, do you think generally, are the government doing as much as they can do or should be doing to stop the spread of the virus? Just from an overall point, it must be incredibly difficult being in government at the moment. What are your overall thoughts on it?
I think it's very difficult. I don't expect any of us thought this time last year where we would be. And even at the beginning of March, I don't think we had any concept that this is where we would be. It's so important that we as people take responsibility. And it's thanks to our personal responsibility that numbers are coming down. It's a learning game for everybody. It's been a year. I think the vaccine rollout is certainly going to help things, but it's not the final panacea. I think we're going, heard this is me speaking personally, I believe we are going to have social distancing, the hand washing, all of that's going to be on for quite some time. So yes, I think the government are doing their best job they can with the knowledge they have at the moment. And they're trying to, they're trying to balance everything. And I think for me, health is primary.
Okay.
Health of our people is primary.
What about yourself, John Paul? In the round, do you think the government are handling the situation as competently as they can?
I think that at the moment, government are doing as well as they can possibly do. And when you look at what's happening internationally, there are huge challenges there for all governments in all countries. Everything that is being done, there's an element of taking calculated risks in terms of what each of us do in our daily lives. There are things we simply have to do by going out and about in terms of shopping and people attending medical appointments and people working in certain circumstances. But we have all had to change the way that we do things, and that is no different for government as well. It's a very challenging time. It is hampering the normal things that government should and could be doing. A huge amount of resources, time and energy has to go into dealing with this very serious situation. And I think all things considered, government are doing as well as can be. You know, it is very challenging rolling out the vaccine, getting that right, getting the supplies in place, getting the structures in place is all very challenging. And it's something that we just simply have to work through as best as we can, because nobody knows, as Bláthnaid said, you couldn't possibly have predicted how this thing has unfolded. Things have changed dramatically in our understanding of COVID and its different forms. So it is shooting a moving target all of the time for government. And there will be calls that will be got wrong. There'll be calls that will be got right. But ultimately, the people of the country are dealing with this by making the right decisions in terms of social distancing and all that goes with that. And ultimately, we have to realise that we can control this by personal responsibility.
Okay, and I was listening to Stephen Donnelly last evening, Bláthnaid, and it's pretty obvious to most now that the lockdown we're in at the moment is going to continue probably until, certainly into March, we would say. You don't see, you're not hearing anything to the contrary. We're in this, I think, for quite some time now, aren't we?
No, I don't think, I don't know. We can't really speculate on what will be decided in terms of restrictions, but numbers are coming down, but the hospitalizations are still very high. I don't think any of us really know. I do believe we need to take NPHET advice and we need to take personal responsibility as well.
Right, okay. Let's talk about one of the major controversies of the week, the non-resumption of school classes for those in special education, due to resume yesterday. Bit of a barney, to say the least, between government ministers and the teachers' unions. John Paul, where are you on this situation? Do you see both sides? Do you think schools...
It's a very difficult situation, Niall, for everyone involved. I know that from my interaction with constituents over the last number of months, and consistent theme has been the challenges that families with children who have additional needs are facing. They have requirements that simply cannot be met through online learning, and that they do need human interaction. And indeed, from a practical point of view, many of the families involved cannot cope with the challenges that they have, and also assist other children with educational needs. And that respite that a child going off to engage directly in physically attending school has been hugely important. And to be fair to all parties, opposition spokespeople in early January all spoke about the need to prioritise children with special needs and not to treat them the same as the rest of the education system. You know, that was, all of them have said that at different points, as, to be fair, have various union representatives in terms of the need and the special circumstances surrounding that. So I think it was right that a decision was made that schools would reopen for certain cohorts. Mm. Whether the timing of that is right or not, I'm not sure. And I think that really the best thing to happen here is for the parties involved to get back in and continue the discussions and resolve the situation, because I know that teachers have been working very hard since the lockdown started. This doesn't suit anybody, but people are muddling through as best as they can. There is a specific issue there in terms of children with additional needs that needs to be addressed. And I hope that that can be done, and done in the very near future.
Okay, but you wouldn't be overly critical of teachers, would you, for taking the approach and the stance they did? I mean,
I understand, you know, the teachers have commitments in terms of they themselves, many of them are now teaching in the home because they're teaching their own children. They are trying to provide an online service to the children that they are looking after and that they're working within their schools, and they may have childcare commitments themselves. Many of them are maybe caring for vulnerable relations, maybe have underlying conditions themselves. So it's a very difficult thing to handle, and it's easy for me that comes into an office basically on my own and doesn't have to interact with very many people during the course of the day to say, well, the teachers should go back, end of story. I don't think that anybody, to be fair, even the Minister for Education, is suggesting that we just resume normal activities for this sector. Mm. We want to see a resumption of some service in this sector with appropriate controls, taking into account the public health advice that is there, and making provision in particular for people who have specific vulnerabilities in terms of underlying conditions, pregnant teachers and so forth.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Blaine, your thoughts on this?
What Jean-Paul has said there. I think what's really, really important is that we make sure that we work with both the parents and the unions in the decision-making process. But more importantly, we need to make sure that the student voices are at the centre of any of the decision-making process. As I said in the earlier thing, we're all learning. As teachers are learning, they've had to adapt a whole new pedagogical approach. That's you know, normally people train, get lambasted all of a sudden. So online learning does not suit a number of students, and that is a difficulty that we have to overcome. We need to take a holistic approach to this, and we need to make sure the students are at the centre, and that we just keep talking to try and resolve it, because it's important for everybody's, not just their physical health, their mental health, that everybody is a little more comfortable, or as comfortable can be, in teaching in the situation that they're in right now.
Right, okay. 0719118104 is our number to call this morning. You can text or WhatsApp now to 083 3500 530 if you've any questions or indeed comments in relation to our discussion this morning. I know you're a busy man, Jean-Paul, but did you watch the President Biden inauguration or the highlights of it, or what are your thoughts on it?
I didn't watch it all. I was working when the inauguration was taking place. I watched some of the early coverage at lunchtime on the day, watching his predecessor depart Washington. I think the world probably heaved a sigh of relief in terms of the unpredictable nature of his predecessor. I've watched some of the coverage afterwards. One thing that struck me is, you know, there's a very strong possibility that this will be Joe Biden's one and only inauguration. He may be a one-term president. I suppose anyone that gets elected to any position may only get one term.
Yep.
Given his age, there's, I suppose, speculation that he may not seek a second term. And it just struck me that it was very sad that he, as somebody who has dedicated himself to public life and given such great service to his country, that he hadn't the opportunity to have the full bells and whistles that would normally be associated with an inauguration. And I suppose that's from a personal point of view, I just thought that was sad. But it was great to see. Brilliant spectacle in and of itself.
He didn't do too badly. There were a number of very, very high profile stars, not only at the inauguration, but obviously at that party that was held later that evening. Blawing, did you watch it or tune into it or watch the highlights of it, or were you more interested in seeing
No, I didn't get a chance to watch it, but I did catch a little bit of on the news, and I saw some of it on YouTube. I thought it's a welcome change. I don't think that anyone can deny that. It was fantastic, some of those executive orders to get back on track with the Paris Climate Agreement and reversing some of the very divisive bills or executive orders that have been made by the last presidency. He has started with a focus on unity, and I think that was, I think looking through the, going through some of the inauguration presentations, you could see from the people he brought to speak, to sing, who got invited, that he is definitely trying to work on put meaning to his words and put facts to his words. Like Amanda Gorman, the poet laureate, was absolutely fantastic. I think she was the star of the show. I think it's such a welcome development, and it's good news for the world, and it's good news for everybody, I think.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean,
I don't think we should underestimate the challenges the man has.
Yeah. Well, that was just about to make that point.
Huge numbers of people still voted for his predecessor.
Yeah.
He has a divided Senate, and as anyone who knows, even at the most low level of politics that some of us are operating at, you know, it's very difficult to build agreement around things. And you look at the very divisive nature of American politics. Unfortunately, that won't disappear overnight.
Yeah,
it's very challenging. It's a very sad situation to watch such a great democracy in a country that we have such a close relationship and affinity with, to see what has happened in the last number of years in the lead up to President Trump's election, but indeed since then.
Yeah, and as we all well know, and you particularly know, being in the world of politics, the honeymoon period won't last for long. But speaking of the close relationship, Blind, there are reports, and they are only media reports. It has not been confirmed at all, but there are reports that our Taoiseach Micheál Martin is very keen on going to Washington to the White House for St. Patrick's Day. Is that appropriate or not, do you think?
The first I heard was you mentioning it this morning, Niall, and I'm not sure if you can hear me because I know the signal seems to be fading in and out a bit. So I hope you can hear me. I would have thought we have a rule for everybody. The rule should apply. We are all using Zoom. I'm speaking in a personal capacity, but I would not be so sure that it's setting a good example for anybody to be leaving this country to travel over to another country in a time of pandemic where we're asking our own people to stay at home. So that would be personal opinion.
Yeah, okay. And again, John Ball, your personal opinion, this isn't confirmed. It's only a story in the Irish Independent.
And from my understanding of it, the story is that the Department of the Taoiseach are considering how it could work or if it should work. And I would be very disappointed if senior civil servants in the Department of the Taoiseach were not looking at various issues that might arise and trying to plan for them. It's a very significant opportunity every year that the Taoiseach has to meet the President of the US. I suppose there are a predictable number of people that every year will complain about the fact that Ireland sends ministers and Taoiseach abroad to represent us and really use the opportunity that St. Patrick's Day is. I heard one person earlier saying that there'd be no St. Patrick's Day here. Well, there will be St. Patrick's Day, no more than there was at Christmas, but it would be a very different Christmas. So I think it's important that they plan for the possibility that it may happen. I think the chances of it happening are very slim. If the circumstances in terms of public health here are the same as they are now in March, then I don't think it's a runner at all. But the situation that we're in at the moment is very fluid. Things are changing all of the time. So there may be a possibility that some form of a visit will take place. And I think it would be wrong if we were to miss that opportunity. It could be that the Taoiseach would be the first foreign leader to meet with President Biden. It's important to note that travel is allowed for work purposes. I know that ministers and the Taoiseach have gone abroad in terms of European engagement. They've also done meetings via Zoom, as is appropriate, and that's important to do if it is possible. So I think we shouldn't be making decisions about something that's going to happen in March now. Yeah. I think we need to, and I think the Department of Taoiseach and the Foreign Affairs both need to be planning for this to see how it could happen, if it could happen, and also planning for what happens if a physical visit cannot take place.
Right, okay. I just want to return to COVID for a moment. I wanted to talk about the rollout of the vaccine because I think it's Stephen Donnelly said last night the aim is to have everybody vaccinated by the end of September, I think he said, and there's a lot of concern. There's been a lot of controversy about the process of vaccination, who gets vaccinated first and who goes up the line and so forth. What are your overall thoughts, Bláthnaid, on the vaccination rollout, which must be a logistical nightmare, to put it mildly?
Yes, Niall. I mean, they're working with a number of different vaccines, all of which have different different rules, to use a, for want of a better word, around them. And apparently, look, we seem to be going well by international comparison, but supply does seem to be a challenge. Now, that new vaccine, the AstraZeneca, when it arrives, it can be administered by the GPs and by the pharmacists. And it is hoped that by the summer, the Department of Health would have 70% of people covered. I looked up the, you know, the HSC priority list, and they have a whole priority list and they have a way of rolling it out. So although we may not be seeing things, there does seem to be a very well-established plan, but that plan is dependent on a lot of factors moving into place, like receipt of the vaccine, like making sure that they have a proper IT system that's going to record how who's got it, who's got the second dose. So it is, it's a huge, huge logistical exercise. And I wish them, it's a very important that we are successful. And I do wish that it moves as quickly as it can in order to protect the most people who are vulnerable in our society and get our society up and running again.
Okay, and from a personal point of view, if you don't mind me asking, will you take the vaccine? Would you have any difficulties with having the vaccine administered?
The vaccine, now I have a 93-year-old mother who I'm trying my best to keep out of hospital, who's had a few health issues. I have some family members who are vulnerable. So yes, for me, it's really important. And I am one of many, many people. And when we look around and we see the sadness that's happened, I mean, Ireland, for us, we really support each other in bereavement so well. And to have lost that is going to be a huge, huge issue for so many people who don't feel they've had the opportunity to say the proper goodbyes to those that they've lost. And I think we have to honour their memory by trying to protect those who are left behind and do it in their name.
Okay. Jean-Paul, same question to you in relation to the vaccination rollout. How do you think it's been going so far, and what are your thoughts and views on it?
Well, I suppose it's important to note that since last night, I think 2.5% of the population have been received their vaccine, and that's good. It's good progress. We'd all like the progress to be much quicker, obviously. I think the best place to store any of these vaccines is in somebody's arm, not in a fridge and not on a shelf anywhere. And I think it's an absolute priority that we ramp this up as much as is possible. Obviously, we can't administer vaccines that aren't there. We have to wait for the supplies to come in and for them to be distributed. But I think, you know, great progress is being made, and it's vitally important that we see as many of our citizens receive this as early as possible. We do need to see normality. We do miss that interaction, as Bláthnaid has said, that community support. There has been a huge amount of grief in our communities funerals that have taken place that we haven't been able to give the support that we would like, people who we valued dearly, never mind family members who have passed on, and all other family events and things that have happened in our communities that have been lost because of COVID. So the sooner we get back to normality, the better. And to preempt the question, the minute the doctor has the vaccine and available, I'll be there to get my injection. I think it's hugely important that people do it. I've been getting the flu injection for the last number of years because I'm of the view that I'm meeting people, particularly a lot of older people who are vulnerable, and I have an obligation to them as much as to myself.
Right, okay. It strikes me that a year ago we were in the throes of a general election campaign. As I said, it's quickly forgotten considering what happened just weeks after the polling day itself and the count. But we were in the throes of the campaign, and Bláthnaid, you know that to be the case, obviously, because you were the Green Party candidate. What are your thoughts a year on in this Sligo, Leitrim, South Donegal, North Roscommon constituency? We had an equal share out. Fianna Fáil one seat, Fine Gael one independent and one Sinn Féin. The polls suggest that if an election were held tomorrow, that might change quite dramatically in favour of Sinn Féin. What are your thoughts a year on the election and how it has panned out and where we are?
We've been thrown into a situation. The pandemic has influenced everything. I think overall the government has done very well. They have tried to support people through it. They, you know, it could have gone the other way. There could have been an austerity applied, and that hasn't been the case. So I think they've done the very best job they can in very, very difficult situation. They are rolling out many of the things that they have promised that they have done, but the pandemic is taking over everything. It's the main focus, as it rightly should be, is on the health of our people. Yes, I do agree, if we did go to the polls, it would be a very different story. But I think that always happens when you have a crisis like this in a situation. But I do think the government are handling it well. I think when we look at what has been achieved, if you look at the headlines in the papers, it's all about the numbers of people who were ill. It's about the vaccine. It's about the terrible losses we've had. The good news stories are getting lost because we are rightly focusing on this situation. Yeah. But I think when this passes and we see what actually has been happening in the background, in correlation at the very same time as the government have also been dealing with the fact, I think people will look favourably upon what the government has achieved in this time.
Right, okay. John Paul, again, a year ago, I'm sure you were out campaigning as well in whatever capacity you were asked to
yes,
do so.
Yes, I was.
Would it be a radically different lineup in the Sligo Leitrim constituency if an election were held tomorrow, do you think?
It'd be very hard to say. Opinion polls are very important, but they do miss the local factor and the regard that various candidates are held in and the work that they're doing and the profile that they have. The polls at the moment are not very positive from my party's point of view, nor frankly have they been for some time. I suppose I'm a sceptic and well known for my criticism of the party leader, but I also have to say that the last 12 months are unprecedented in every sense of the word. And I know that's a word that's thrown around a lot, but when you look at it, nothing is the same really as it was from a political point of view. And I think, as is often forgotten, government doesn't come with a magic wand. And no matter how well-intentioned any minister or a group of TDs have been for the last 12 months, the ability to implement what you would like to do has been totally changed by what has happened in relation to COVID. I suppose, frankly, my own view of the leadership of my own party hasn't changed. I have said to people that this is the first time that Micheál Martin has exceeded my expectations of him. And I don't mean that in a positive sense. He has been, I suppose, more disappointing in terms of his discharge of his functions than I thought he could have been.
Just on that, there's some personal questions, not personal, but there's specific questions coming in for both of you. And one of them is towards you, John Paul, basically asking if you have confidence in Micheál Martin as your party leader.
I think I'm well on record of saying that I'm not his biggest fan. That said, I don't think now is the time to change a leader. I don't think anyone would be thanking the party for that. I think it's important to put the national interest first. So my position in relation to Micheál Martin hasn't changed since this time last year, when I was of the view that he should really have been stepping down as leader of the party. So he is the leader of the party at the moment, and Taoiseach, and at this present time, I think it would be wrong to change him, but I would like to see a change in the not too distant future.
And Bláthnaid, speaking of specific questions, somebody wants to know, what are your views on the ending of the production of the traditional peat briquettes? Was it this week or last week? I think it was this week Bourna Mona announced it. And what are the Green Party going to do about people burning dirty fuels? How would you respond to that?
This is a big issue. The end of peat production has been done in order to try and preserve what we have and work towards the reduction of damage to our climate. We have a just transition. So those people who are losing their jobs, we are working with them. But I have noticed even here, I'm over with my caring for my mum at the moment, and I have really noticed, because I live in the country, I don't live in town, I have noticed a lot of burning that I had never noticed before. You don't see it when you're in the country as much. But so it does seem to be an issue that people are burning more and more stuff that they shouldn't be burning in fireplaces. And I think that is something that needs to be tackled. And I don't know the answer to that. But again, like, we have responsibility to the people who come after us to leave this planet in a good state. So I would just ask people, just before you put something in the fireplace, could you just make sure that you think this is something that you would do for your grandchildren?
Well, just before we leave that, leaving aside the actual fuel source, there was some sort of emotional attachment to peat briquettes in Ireland, John Paul, was there not?
Well, there was. I suppose they had a brilliant advertisement with the Dubliners playing the Merino Waltz in it. I think it's a childhood memory for most people. We also have to move with the times and with the information that we have to us, which tells us that we should be reducing the amount of carbon that we are producing. I think we have to also be sensible in terms of what we do and how we do it. There is an issue with fuel poverty that has to be addressed, and they're not simple solutions. But Bord na Mona is a commercial entity, and they have to do what they believe to be the financially and the commercially advantageous thing. And they are of the view that now is the time to bring an end to the peat briquette. And, you know, the world continued to revolve on its axis before the peat briquette was invented, and it will continue after the peat briquette ceases to be produced, and we will find other sources of fuel. Yeah. And we will meet the challenge that's there for us. We simply have to, I suppose, accept that there are changing times when it comes to fuel and the way we heat our home and various things like that.
Right, okay. January has been a difficult month for a lot of people, not helped by the tax bill that many people received. I think it was around 500,000 people received tax bills as a result of availing of the pandemic unemployment payment and the wage subsidy scheme. And there was a suggestion from the Labour Party that these tax bills be scrapped in the times that we're in. Bláthnaid, what are your thoughts on that?
Honest with you, I don't know enough about it really to make a comment. I think if people are people receive their tax bills, at this time, people are going to be shocked. They're concerned about where their future income is coming from. Many people receiving it may not be used to having to pay tax themselves. So I think there's an awful lot we have to look into. We have to discuss about it and make sure people feel supported, that they don't feel that this is another issue that they are strangled with, because, people are so worried about keeping themselves safe health-wise, but also having to worry about financially, where is the future and how they're going to pay bills. Getting any bill in the door is very difficult for people at this time. So I would say that they need to talk to revenue, because revenue are very supportive of people. But, you know, if you are afraid of any bill, your best thing to do is speak to the people who have sent you the bill and talk through them. But I don't know enough about the bill.
What about you, John Paul? Are you aware of any angry constituents out there with these tax bills?
I think most people who are working will have received some sort of poor news, shall we say, after the tax balancing statements that came out towards the end of last week. I think it is important to acknowledge that when this was introduced by the interim government last year, it was an emergency measure all about getting money into people's pockets to reassure them that they would have something to pay bills as they arose. Maybe it wasn't structured as well as it should have been. And there was a very clear statement throughout last year that this is a taxable payment, like every other payment from the state, or practically all other payments, that it will fall into your tax net. But the way it was paid out has caused an issue. I think we need to look at that issue. I don't think you can have a situation whereby you can simply say, well, let's just cancel all of these bills and just set it aside completely. That's not practical or sensible. I suppose it's opposition politicians playing to a gallery. Nobody likes getting a tax bill. Nobody wants to have to pay tax like that.
Yeah.
But this is not a request to people to pay tax over and above what they would or should have been paying in the normal course of events. And there is a commitment there that they will have 2 to 3 years, if not longer, to pay off the bill. And I think it's important to engage with the revenue in relation to it and to try and address it on in terms of putting in place a payment strategy that works for you.
Okay, we've a couple of minutes left, and what we've been asking panellists in recent weeks is, I mean, it's been a difficult few weeks, there's no doubt about it, for everybody in the country, but it's always a case of looking forward. What are you missing most about the lockdown and the restrictions, and what are you most looking forward to doing when we are out of it, Bláine, or have you thought about that at all?
I've thought about it in some ways, in other ways I haven't, because I just want to get, as I said, I want to get through this, want to make sure that our, you know, family members who are vulnerable get through here and come out the other side okay. But you know what, for my mum in particular, and you know, we're examples of families all through the country, we have family abroad that my mum hasn't seen all year, and at 93, you know, it's not the same doing it on Zoom or something. So I think that's the biggest wish, is that my mom can be reunited with her children over the coming year at some stage, so she can give them a hug.
Yeah, and how simple and how poignant is that? John Paul, yourself, what are you missing
really
most?
Similarly, I suppose in many ways I'm the sort of person that just gets on with things as they're put in front of me and just deal with it. So from that point of view, I'm always reasonably content. It's the simple things, though, that we miss. Like Bláine, I have a brother living abroad in the normal... He was at home just this time last year in the middle of the general election campaign. Wasn't great timing, but anyway, it was great that he did, because if he had to wait until March when he would normally make an appearance, it wouldn't have been possible. We would normally see him, his wife, some of his children twice, three times a year. That hasn't been possible. And, you know, people are making great talk about online meetings and Zoom and all the rest of it. And it's grand, but there's nothing like, whether it be from a work point of view or from a personal point of view, meeting people. And I think that is the big thing that I miss, didn't realize that I valued it as much, is the day-to-day interaction with people. The ability to stop and chat with somebody, to bump into somebody coming out of the shop or coming out of the church or going to a football match, or the day-to-day stuff that we take for granted, that I think is having a huge impact on a lot of people who maybe aren't fortunate enough to be, that they're working from home and therefore their interaction with people is gone. I know our house is normally, you know, it's, I do say sometimes it's a bit like Grand Central Station. There's always people coming and going. One of the things of having, a large family. But because of COVID now, that is way, way down. And in terms of neighbours coming in and people coming, we'll say, with work as a counsellor or whatever, the fact that it's all done on phone, you miss that human interaction. You miss, when the business is done, having a mug of tea and a chat with people. And I'm looking forward to getting back to that level of normality.
Yeah.